far faster than Scarlet, as if she wanted to cram as much as possible into every moment of life, an observation that Scarlet tucked away for her performance. In my line of work, life is often very short, so I don't waste any of it waiting for a question that I could easily ask myself. I'm also rather certain he's going to say yes. She winked. Even from Scarlet's position behind the hats, she could see the head of the young twirling girl exploding with thoughts. Her brief conversation with Paradise had just splintered the way she viewed the world, opening up a door that the girl hadn't even known existed. But, Paradise added, if he's afraid of marriage or of me, I'll know it's time to move on.
To Marcello Dragna, said the lady with the ribbons. He's very handsome and rich.
Then you should marry him, Paradise laughed. He'd probably be much happier with you than he'd be with me. Marcello only thinks he could handle me. I believe he wants to tame me, like a caged tiger at a circus, so he can show off to his friends.
That sounds sort of like what you're trying to do with Gavriel, mused Minerva.
No. I like Gavriel outside of his cage, and I don't have any friends to show off to.
Except for you, Minerva.
Minerva muttered something too low for Scarlet to hear before slipping back into the door she'd been about to go through as Paradise had entered. A moment later, she reappeared with a creation in her hands that was far too extravagant to be called a gown. It was a riot of cream and black and rose and pink, with splashes of flowers and lace and stray gold leaf. Long sleeves attached to a decorative bodice that was fitted through the hips, until the skirt flared out in ruffled tiers that ended in a train of gold and rose flowers with lacy black leaves. It didn't look like Scarlet's idea of love, but she could see how it could have been her mother's and Gavriel's. Paradise gasped. It's sublime. Each of these layers can be easily removed with a quick tug, if you need to run. Or if I want to have some fun with Gavriel, chimed Paradise. The twirling girl turned red as berries. The lady with the ribbons broke out in a laugh, but Minerva didn't crack a smile. She looked as wary as Scarlet was feeling. Scarlet knew her mother went on to marry Marcello Dragna, not Gavriel. But the entire exchange still left Scarlet with a deep, heavy feeling of dread as the conversation between the women ended. The ill feeling remained with Scarlet as she followed Paradise from the dress shop back into another icy alley. Scarlet had no love for Marcello, but as much as Scarlet hated him, if Paradise never married him, then Tella would never be born. Scarlet quickened her steps as her mother disappeared around the corner. Scarlet knew she wasn't supposed to interfere. The assassin had warned her not to change. Her back slammed against a brick wall of a dead-end street as Paradise placed a knife to Scarlet's throat. She fought to take a ragged breath. Seeing Paradise like this was like peering into a threatening mirror. This was the mother Scarlet had originally expected to meet. But she couldn't feel triumphant about it. If this encounter went the wrong way, it could destroy the entire future Scarlet knew, or end Scarlet's life.
What's a pretty girl like you doing following?
Paradise cut off abruptly. She must have seen the resemblance as well, though her response was to hold the blade closer to Scarlet's throat.
Who are you? Why are you trying to look like me?
She spoke even faster than she had in the shop.
Tell me in the next 10 seconds or I'll slit your throat and walk away before your body hits the snow. 1, 2, 3. I'm not here to hurt you, Scarlet said. Not the right answer, Paradise flashed a vicious grin. 4, 5. I'm here because your family is in danger. Don't have a family, she sang. 7, 8. Yes, you do, in the future.
Paradise didn't even bother to respond to this claim.
9. You have a daughter, Scarlet said. You're pregnant with her right now.
Paradise stopped counting.
How did you know that? I've only told one person that, and he wouldn't say a word.
Her eyes narrowed on Scarlet and then went wide.
Where did you get those earrings?
She dropped the box she'd been holding and touched her own ears, where a matching pair of jeweled baubles rested.
They were from you, Scarlet said. You told me my father gave them to you because scarlet was your favorite color. It's also what you named me.
Paradise stumbled back, but continued to hold out the knife. Gray mist swirled around her. She was confused, but no longer feeling hostile. Though, on the outside, she kept her expression severe.
You also change your name to Paloma, Scarlet said. You leave this identity and turn into something close to a legend.
This made a hint of her grin return, but it didn't meet her eyes the way Scarlet's grins always did.
All right, say I do believe you. Why are you here?
To save the world, to stop a monster, to see you. I'm only here to steal a dress.
Paradise laughed, softening a little more.
Then you're a terrible thief. I must not have raised you very well.
Scarlet was tempted to tell her the truth, to tell Paradise that she'd been a dreadful mother, that she'd left when her daughters had needed her most and she hadn't come back. But Paradise wasn't that woman yet, and Scarlet wondered if maybe she'd never actually been that woman. Somewhere along the way, Scarlet had come to believe her mother didn't love her, or really love anyone. If she'd loved her daughters, she wouldn't have left them or hurt them. People didn't hurt the ones they loved. But until Scarlet had appeared, her mother had been bursting with love. She'd been full of so much love she was going to ask a man to marry her. But she didn't. In Scarlet's world, she went on to betray him instead. And Scarlet wondered if Paradise did all of this because Paradise loved her. Even now, Scarlet could see the love taking over Paradise's emotions as her eyes continued to dart from her earrings to Scarlet's face. In this timeline, they'd only just met, but Paradise was already choosing to love Scarlet. Scarlet could scarcely comprehend it. Whenever she loved fiercely, but it never came this easily, and she wouldn't have expected it to come so effortlessly to Paradise. Clearly, Scarlet had never really known her mother. But there were a few things she did know about her.
You were the best mother you could be, Scarlet said. You sacrificed everything for my sister and me.
You have a sister? Paradise's entire face lit up, making her look even more magnetic. And Scarlet wished Tella could have seen how happy their mother was to hear she was having a second daughter.
I can't wait to tell your father about this.
No! You can't tell him. Whatever you do, don't tell him. Again, Scarlet almost left it at that. The assassin had warned her not to interfere with the past, but maybe Scarlet had been part of the past all along. Maybe she wasn't just here to steal a dress or to see a mother she'd never understood. Maybe Scarlet was here to help make sure her mother made some of those choices Scarlet had never understood. Because she understood them now. If Paradise married Gavriel and raised Scarlet with him, the future would change. Tella would never be born, and there was a good chance that all the fates would be freed from the cards very soon.
Gavriel is not what you think he is, Scarlet said.
Paradise took a harsh step back, some of the sharp edges returning to her expression. But Scarlet didn't stop. Either she was wrong and she'd already changed the future irreparably, or she was right, and she needed to press forward to stop her mother from making an irreversible mistake.
I don't know how much I'm supposed to tell you, or if I'm supposed to be saying any of this, but you don't marry Gavriel. He's not the father of your second child. Gavriel is a fate. He's the fallen star, and he was trapped inside the deck of destiny that you stole from Empress Ellentine. He wants to find the deck again so he can free all the fates and take over the empire. You stop him from doing this. You trap him in a card again. But then you still have to hide because his church, the Church of the Fallen Star, comes after you for running with the cards. So you marry Marcello Dragna and go away with him. Paradise laughed, but it held none of the amusement of her earlier laugh.
No, I would never marry Marcello.
But you do, Scarlet said. And it struck her that out of all the impossible things she'd just shared,
This was the one Paradise remarked on. It made Scarlet wonder if deep down her mother was already aware of Gavriel's true goals and identity. Scarlet tried to read her mother's colors. There were competing emotions warring each other, but Scarlet could see that Paradise was in love and uncertain, and despite her calm exterior, she was terrified of what Scarlet had just said.
I'm sorry, Scarlet said.
Why are you apologizing?
Because I know you love him.
Criminals don't love. If that were true, I don't think I would be here, but I am. I'm here because you did whatever it took to take care of me, the daughter you're pregnant with now. That's part of what makes you so remarkable. You leave Valenda, but people still tell stories about you. Even Empress Ellentine talked about you before she died. She told my sister that when you loved, you did it as fiercely as you lived. You were willing to do whatever it took to protect the ones you love, even if it hurt you or them in the process.
And Scarlet realized then, she was the exact same. Everything she'd just said would cause Paradise and Tella and herself a world of pain. But if Paradise took a different course, then the future would change. Everything Scarlet cared about might be lost, and the fallen star might never be defeated.
Paradise was shaking her head, as if she could clear her muddled emotions.
And I thought you were just here to steal a dress.
Like you said, I'm not a very good thief.
I might have been wrong. Paradise reached down, picked up her box from the dress shop, and held it out to Scarlet. Take it. You earned it with your story.
Does this mean you believe me?
I don't know. But I don't think I'll be getting engaged tonight,
Paradise said, careless and flippant. She sounded a lot like Tella when Tella was pretending not to feel.
I'm sorry, Scarlet said.
You don't need to keep apologizing. But there is one thing you could do for me.
Paradise gave Scarlet a trembling smile.
Put the dress on.
I didn't get to try it on today, and I want to know if it would have looked as fabulous as I'm imagining. I'll watch the other alley to make sure no one unwanted pops in.
Paradise darted around the corner.
Scarlet wanted to protest. She didn't feel like stripping in a frozen alley once again. But after all she'd told Paradise, this was the least Scarlet could do for her. It was the last thing her mother would ever ask of her. And it turned out to be the last thing her mother would ever say to her as well.
When Scarlet finished dressing and turned the corner, Paradise was gone. Scarlet picked up the bottom of her new dress and ran to the end of the alley, hoping to catch her mother. She looked up and down the street at all the people in their bright coats walking through the falling snow. If Paradise was among them, Scarlet didn't see her. All she found was a broken lamppost and a dropped knife. Her mother had left again. Scarlet couldn't be surprised, and she didn't let herself feel hurt, not this time. Paradise might have been her mother, but she was also just a pregnant girl who'd been told she'd have to make a terrible choice. Scarlet couldn't blame her for running, and maybe Scarlet shouldn't have blamed her so much before. Scarlet loved Tella and Julian despite their imperfections. It was time to start loving her mother the same way. And when the assassin appeared an instant later, Scarlet imagined that this was how it was meant to be all along, and that her mother really had done the best she could. She might have run away from Scarlet just now, but Scarlet believed that when she went back to the future, she'd find things unchanged.
Did you do what you needed to do?
He asked.
Almost.
Scarlet picked up the knife her mother had dropped. It was a white dagger with a star-shaped stone in the hilt. Scarlet wondered if it had been a gift from Gavriel as she used the knife to cut off her silver streak of hair. Months ago, that little streak had felt like such a great cost to Scarlet. But it was nothing compared to what her mother had sacrificed.
I'm ready now.
As soon as she said it, the assassin took her hand, and then they were both standing in the candlelit court of the fallen star. Chapter 56. Scarlet. Tella had always been more dramatic than Scarlet.
As a young girl, she'd played at being a mermaid, a pirate, and an assassin, while Scarlet had just tried to make sure Tella was safe. Scarlet was not an actress, but it was time for her to put on the performance of her life. She needed to become Paradise the Lost, or she might not survive the night. Scarlet schooled her features into the edged expression her mother had worn when she'd pulled the knife on Scarlet. Then she struggled against the assassin's grip as he roughly dragged her past Jester Mad's forsaken stage, tables of half-eaten food, and goblets left abandoned on the floor. The party was over, but perhaps poison had turned all the maids to stone, because the mess remained. The fallen star leaned back in his bloody throne, playing with the flames at the tips of his fingers while drops of red trickled over his shoulders, as if he'd already grown bored with his kingdom. The humans were gone, but a few fates remained. Scarlet saw Jax lingering near the foot of the throne and chatting with Poison as if they were old friends, but she forced herself not to pay close attention to Jax or her sister. Scarlet was pretending to be Paradise, and young Paradise wouldn't have known who Tella was or been concerned about the adoring way she gazed at Jax. At a glance, her emotions appeared to be a blissful shade of pink, but every few seconds, they flickered with rotted hints of brownish yellow, as if they were infected. She'd sacrificed too much. Tella didn't even appear to notice Scarlet's entrance, or Legend, who was trapped in an iron cage to the left of the throne. Legend's grim cage was so much smaller and harsher than Anissa's, with a mockery of a swing that was covered in spikes. He looked miserable and weak, and he couldn't tear his eyes from Tella's dreamy face. He appeared to be shouting to her, but there must have been an enchantment on his prison, like the one on Anissa's cage that dimmed her powers, because Scarlet didn't see any illusions, and his voice did not break through.
"You might want to fight even more,"
the assassin whispered. They were almost at the throne. Scarlet ripped herself free from the assassin's grip.
"Let me go!" She brandished the white dagger that Paloma had dropped.
The fallen star finally saw her. His gaze went from the hooded assassin to Scarlet, golden eyes widening as they caught on her dress. The dress he'd bought for Paradise, with its splashes of cream and black and rose and pink and flowers and lace and stray gold leaf. The flames at his fingertips died. The blood from the throne stopped flowing, and for a moment, the chamber was entirely silent.
"What have you done?" he breathed.
His eyes left Scarlet's to narrow on the assassin, but Scarlet couldn't tell for certain if he was upset because he believed that she was actually Paradise, or he thought that she was Scarlet.
"I took her from the past for you."
The assassin shoved Scarlet forward with the flat of his hand. Paradise wouldn't have stumbled, so neither did Scarlet. She took a firm step, then she cringed and made a look of disgust. Paradise shopped in the Satine District and liked pretty things. She might have been a criminal, but she would have been revolted by the bleeding throne Gavriel sat upon.
"Why are you sitting on that thing? And who are these people?"
She spoke with the same rapid tone her mother had used and wrinkled her nose as she made a show of looking around, but she didn't allow herself to appear too bewildered. Paradise hid her true emotions.
"What's going on here, Gavriel?"
The fallen star held her gaze, his golden eyes flickering like match flames on the verge of starting a wildfire, as if he was seeing a ghost. The lie was working. He believed she was Paradise, but he didn't appear to be in love with her. He addressed the assassin through gritted teeth as turbulent emotions writhed around him.
"Please explain to me why you've brought her here."
The knuckles gripping the throne turned white as he said the word her.
"Last I heard, you wanted nothing to do with me."
"I changed my mind, but I doubted you'd be satisfied,"
the assassin answered roughly.
"So I brought her as a gift."
"I am no one's gift."
The assassin ignored her, grabbing her arm again and shoving her closer to the throne.
"Let her go,"
Gavriel thundered.
The assassin dropped her arm.
She's pregnant with your daughter. I know you've had difficulties with the child. I thought you could fix it if you raised her yourself.
What? Scarlet sputtered. How does he know this? I haven't told anyone I'm pregnant except for you. Scarlet held the fallen star's eyes again, trying to remember the way her mother had looked when she talked about him in the dress shop. But mimicking a look of love wasn't going to be enough to make him love her. And just then, she was less worried about him loving her and more concerned he might do something rash, like kill everyone in the throne room. The fire still hadn't gone out of his eyes.
All of you, get out,
he ordered, and every fate obeyed. Poison glided to the nearest door. The assassin bowed and turned. Her handmaidens, who Scarlet hadn't even realized were still there, evaporated like smoke. Jax, who was closest to the throne, began leading Tella by the elbow. But Tella stopped as they neared Scarlet. Her face snapped toward her sister, and her hazel eyes regained their focus, as if she'd been suddenly yanked out of a dream.
Wait, Tella tugged at Jax's arm. That's my mother. She's alive.
Get her out of here, the fallen star bellowed.
His throne burst into flames, filling the room with heat. Jax tugged Tella away with a hand around her waist, but she continued to fight him.
No! Mother!
Gavriel, what's going on? Scarlet said, trying to rip his attention away from her sister, who appeared to be going off script.
What is that girl talking about?
Don't listen to her.
The fallen star marched down from the burning throne, leaving a trail of blood behind him, but it looked almost peaceful compared to the emotions attacking him. Usually his angry feelings flared out like sparks that wanted to set anything nearby on fire. But these emotions seemed to be burning him, digging into his shoulders and arms like barbs at the end of a whip. He wasn't angry with her or the assassin, or even Tella. He was furious with himself. His emotions had erupted when she'd appeared, but they had flared when Tella said the word alive. He truly regretted killing Paradise. But it still wasn't enough to make him love her now. When he had loved Paradise in the past, Paradise had also loved him. And Scarlet didn't love him at all. Maybe that's what she really needed. She thought she could do it. She'd brought her sister back to life with love. Scarlet was loving. She knew the colors of love and the shapes they took. She knew what it felt like to fight for love and to lose it, and to give it with no design of getting anything back in return. And maybe that's why it wasn't working now. She didn't want to give him her love. She'd seen him do too many horrible things. And even though he was mostly angry with himself right now, the emotion was so strong, it made her think he might do something hideous very soon, either to her or her sister, who was still dangerously close. Scarlet had to find a way to change his feelings. She tried to find a spark of love for him again. She hadn't wanted to love her mother either, but Paradise was more deserving. Or maybe no one deserved love. Maybe love was always a gift, but it was so much harder to give it to the fallen star because he'd spent his entire existence battling against it. He saw it as a disease rather than a cure.
It's going to be all right. I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to make sure that our child is absolutely extraordinary.
He gave her a smile that was all teeth and inhuman hunger, without a shred of love. Her plan wasn't working the way it was supposed to. Chapter 57. Donatella. Tella should have tried harder to stop her sister from going through with this plan. The fallen star looked almost bored when Tella had stepped into the throne room with Jax. But now, he looked as if the wrong word might cause him to set the entire throne room ablaze. His eyes flickered like flames. But it was the way he stared at Scarlet with a terrifying brand of protectiveness that told Tella he might lock her sister up in this tower as easily as he might set her on fire if she said the wrong word.
Panic shook Tella's limbs. Jack's arms tightened around her, pulling her closer to him. But not even his reassuring touch could completely calm her. If she didn't do something soon, Tella feared that she was going to watch history repeat itself with the fallen star and her sister.
Tella, Jax whispered. There's no saving her. Your sister's plan isn't going to work. We need to get out of here before he takes his rage out on you.
An intense bolt of fear washed over Tella. Jax was right. She would be much safer if she went with him. He would never let anything happen to her. Jax would protect Tella until the end of time. But Tella could not leave her sister to fight the fallen star on her own. Scarlet would never win. Even if the fallen star kept her alive, it didn't look as if he would ever love her. If Tella couldn't kill the fallen star, she at least needed to help her sister get out of there. Trust me, Jax. I have an idea.
It was a terrible idea, but many of her most successful ideas were.
Mother! Tella cried. He's not going to take care of you! She broke away from Jax and leaped between Scarlet and the fallen star.
The Fate's eyes turned red, and flames erupted once more.
Chapter 58 Scarlet. The moment Tella lunged between Scarlet and Gavriel, his hands burst into flames, creating an arc of sparks and black smoke as he reached for Tella's delicate shoulder. Scarlet didn't even think. She just shoved her sister out of the way and flung herself in the fallen star's path. Sparks flew. Tella screamed. Scarlet might have screamed too. The fallen star collided with her, his hands scorching the same shoulders he'd burned earlier that night. All Scarlet could feel was pain. Then his arms were holding her up instead of burning.
Paradise!
The flames on his fingers went out. And for the first time since she'd known him, he looked frightened. His brows were pulled tight together over eyes shot through with red.
I didn't mean to hurt you.
Did you also not mean to kill her? Tella accused. Gavriel released Scarlet, and his hands flared into fire once more, incandescent balls of fire forming in his palms. Stop this! Scarlet screamed. Paradise wouldn't have wanted you to hurt her daughter. Or your daughter! The fallen star's eyes cut back to her. The flames of his fingers went as black as betrayal. He'd caught her slip. He knew that she was not his paradise. But Scarlet wasn't sure it was a slip. Her performance had failed to elicit any feelings of love, so maybe it was time to stop performing. She took a step toward him, looking in his injured eyes instead of at the hands that had burned her multiple times. She couldn't think about self-preservation. It was too closely related to fear, and she remembered what her mother had written about fear giving fates power. Scarlet refused to be afraid. Fear was poison to love, and love was poison to fear. She still couldn't bring herself to love him, but she could bring herself to be vulnerable. And maybe that would get through to him. I know you're afraid of love. I know it's hurt you in the past, and you see it as a weapon. You think love is a disease, but you've become the disease. Your fear of love is destroying you and everyone you touch. And it doesn't make you powerful. It makes the world around you tragic.
Scarlet waved a hand around his catastrophic throne room, with its ugly stage, its awful cage, and a throne still burning with angry fire.
You told me you didn't love Paradise, but I know you did.
He didn't flinch, but he didn't lash out either.
You love my mother, and I know that she loved you. The assassin did go back in time. He took me to see Paradise, and she was bursting with her love for you. She wouldn't want any of this for you, and she wouldn't want you to do the things that you've done.
His eyes finally lowered to the gaping hole in Scarlet's sleeve and the ruined skin beneath it, blistering and burning from where he'd touched her. Scarlet took a tremulous breath and forced herself to take a step closer.
I forgive you. For the longest heartbeat of Scarlet's life, his expression remained indecipherable, but the flames lighting up his hands turned from black to gray, the color of regret. They crackled as they licked his fingertips, the only sound in the throne room, until finally, softer than anything Scarlet had ever heard.
I did love her. I loved her so much it scared me. And then, I never let myself love again.
A golden tear fell down his face.
I wish I could take back what I did to her.
Another tear fell, followed by another and another. Scarlet didn't know if they were all for her mother. His eyes were wells of endless pain, as if her father was finally feeling the weight of all the unspeakable things he'd done. The flames lighting his fingers died. When he cried another tear, it was clear instead of gold. It was human, and it was beautiful, and it was the last thing he did before Tella stabbed him in the heart.
No! Scarlet fell with Gavriel to the floor. Tella's knife had reached his heart, and he was dying quickly. It was what Scarlet wanted, but she wished she'd never had to want it.
His mouth twitched with something too forlorn to be called a smile.
We both know I don't deserve your sorrow.
With the last of his strength, Gavriel picked up the white dagger she'd dropped. His fingers could barely produce sparks, but somehow he managed to quickly melt the blade of the dagger until it formed a crude flame. The flame-shaped blade glowed with a color she'd never seen before. If she had to describe it, she would have said it looked like magic, reminding her of what Gavriel had said in the dungeon, about fates transferring their power into objects. He placed the knife back in Scarlet's hand.
When I pass, this will free the ones I trapped. Use it the way I would not have.
Then, the fallen star died. And Scarlet cried. She cried for the horrors he had been, and she cried for the wonders that he could have been instead. Chapter 59. Donatella. Tella felt as if the whole world should have stopped or cheered for her. She'd just slayed the fallen star. She'd killed the monster who'd murdered her mother. She'd also come close to dying. She could still smell the smoke and the char from the flames that would have scorched her. Her hands shook and her heart raced. But then Jax was there, sliding a cool, comforting arm around her and pulling her close.
It's all right, my love.
But it isn't all right, said a tiny voice inside her head. The same annoying voice urged her to pull away from Jax. There was a truth about him that she'd chosen to forget. But Tella didn't want to remember it. She liked the seductive lie that was Jax. She liked his cruel games and his teasing smiles, and the way he bit her whenever they kissed. The throne room might have looked like a page ripped from a horror story, but Jax was her prince of hearts, and he'd turn it all into a fairy tale ending. She leaned into his touch, and the world became hazy.
I did it,
Tella said, her voice tinted with disbelief.
Of course you did it, my love. But we need to get out of here now.
Jax held her tighter as he tugged her away from Scarlet. Tella had seen her fall to the floor with the fallen star, but she hadn't gotten up. She remained slumped against his lifeless body.
Wait, my sister.
Look at me, Donatella.
Jax twisted her around until she was facing him.
Do you still want to spend the rest of your life with me?
He asked the question as if it were the only thing that mattered in the world. Never in her life had Tella felt a question with so much power. Though Jax looked almost powerless as he said it, he was a mess of gold hair, sea salt blue eyes, and bitten lips,
beautiful in a way only broken things could be. And Tella wanted him exactly how he was. She wanted him fractured and chaotic and completely untamable. The feeling was as consuming as what she felt from him whenever he kissed her. As if it would never be enough, even if she gave him everything. You are the only thing I want right now.
A ghost of Jack's smile returned, and yet it looked so much more real than every other smile he'd given her. He looked happy. Despite the death and the wreckage and the smoke in the air, he glowed in a way she'd never seen him glow before.
You're all I want as well. But we need to leave right now, or someone might try to stop us from being together.
He released her shoulder to capture her hand. He roughly pulled her through the disastrous throne room, as if their lives depended on leaving. Jack stormed past Jester Mad's abandoned stage, spilled puddles of wine, and a mirror that looked as if it had a person trapped inside. He barely stopped to open the massive doors that led to the sparkling glass courtyard. Night had taken over, and winking stars rained from above, reflecting on the glassy ground as
Tella!
Legend's voice cut through the night, loud enough to startle the sky and tie her stomach into a knot. Tella closed her eyes, as if she could undo the effect Legend had on her. She didn't want him anymore. She couldn't even look at him when he'd been in the cage. One glance at him and feelings she didn't even know she possessed had erupted. She hated Legend. She hated everything about him. But somehow the low sound of his voice still tangled her up. Don't stop. Jax jerked her hand so she was flush against him once more. She willed her feet to run with him, to go wherever Jax went. He was the boy she wanted to follow to the ends of the earth. But her body was betraying her to Legend. Again. Her legs wouldn't move. Her toes had dug into her slippers, as if begging for purchase against the ground. Jax yanked harder on her hand, his icy grip tightening around her fingers. But Tella couldn't even look away as Legend approached. He looked like the ending of a doomed love story. His dark clothes were ripped. There were fresh burns on his chest, and eyes that had once been full of stars were desolate. Black with desperate gray cracks and painful red lines snaking through the whites. Her throat went tight. It shouldn't have hurt her. She hated him. She hated him for all those months he'd played with her heart. Even now he still held a piece of it. He'd always hold a piece of it, said a tiny voice inside of her. But Tella ignored the voice. She wanted to take her heart back and give it fully to Jax.
Why can't you leave us alone? She cried. Haven't you tormented me enough?
Legend's eyes met hers, wide and pleading. But Tella was done giving in to him.
Undo whatever you've done to her, Legend roared at Jax.
He hasn't done anything, Tella said. You're the one who keeps hurting me.
I think that's her way of asking you to leave. Jack smirked and gave Tella's hand a gentle squeeze. He no longer held her as tight. He knew that she belonged to him.
Tella, listen to me, Legend begged. You can fight what he's done to you.
The only one I want to fight is you,
she pulled free from Jax, prepared to finally shove Legend away forever. But as soon as she let go of him, Jax vanished and the world shifted. Magic filled the air, thick and sweet. The glass courtyard beneath Tella's feet turned into smooth moonstone steps as the golden tower behind Legend disappeared and a new illusion took its place. A temple made of glowing white, topped in a domed roof covered in outstretched wings. The Temple of the Stars. Above it, radiant red fireworks mingled with more stars than Tella had ever seen, recreating the moment that Legend had walked away from her, right after saving her. Tella's heart stopped beating altogether. She could still picture the flat way Legend had looked at her that night, and the coldness in his voice as he told her that he wasn't the hero in her story. But now, his eyes were brilliant as stars once again, full of bits of gold that glittered in the night. He was gazing at her the way he had in the painting on his wall, as if he never wanted to leave her, as if he adored her, as if he wanted to be her hero after all. "Undo this illusion," Tella said, unable to stand the sight of it, or him. He wasn't a hero. And she'd never wanted a hero. She was the hero of her own story, and it was time to save herself from him. "Bring back the courtyard and Jax." Legend's brows slashed down, the feeling in his eyes intensifying. Once upon a time, the brilliant look in them could have convinced her that he had the ability to give her the world. But now Jax was her world, and there wasn't room for Legend. If she was being honest, there had never been enough room for him. He was too all-consuming. "I know you think you want him, but he's controlling your feelings," Legend said, his voice growing lower and deeper with every word. "You have to fight against it."
"You're just jealous. You don't want me, but you don't want anyone else to have me." She tried to shove against his chest, to push him away at last. "Please stop torturing me. Just let me go."
The edge of Legend's mouth slowly lifted.
"You're the one holding on to me, Tella."
"No, I..."
She looked down to see her fingers gripping his frayed shirt. Two warm hands wrapped gently around her shoulders as Legend held her in place. Her heart beat faster. She really needed to pull away. But she couldn't move. Her body was remembering a time when he wouldn't get this close to her, when he wouldn't put his hands on her. All she'd wanted was his touch, and now he was holding her as if he planned on keeping her for a very long time. His smile grew.
"I'm not jealous of Jax. I know your feelings for him aren't real. And you're wrong if you think I don't want you. I've wanted you for so long, and I'll never stop wanting you."
His grip grew firmer as he pulled her even closer, until she was pressed against his chest. Her breaths came out short in tiny, angry gasps. But no matter how hard she tried to push him away, she still couldn't manage to do it. When she thought of Jax, her heartbeat calmed, but then it craved the way that Legend made it pound. Because he didn't just own part of her heart. It belonged to him fully.
"No!"
Tella tried to shake the thought out of her head. She tried to remember Jax and the way he made her feel, but all she could feel right now was Legend as one of his wonderfully warm hands traced down her spine.
"Do you still want to know why I walked away that night on these steps?"
"No," she said. But somehow the word yes came out instead. His palms heated, and the hand on her shoulder slid to her neck and into her hair, tilting her face up, forcing her to look into his eyes. They were still glassy and dark with flecks of gold that looked like shattered stars, and she told herself she hated them. Jax's eyes were beautiful. Jax's eyes were the ones she adored. But Legend's eyes had captured hers, and she couldn't stop staring into them. She told herself his eyes were just another illusion, the same as all the feelings that were threatening to take her over. She shut her eyes, but it didn't help. It only made her more aware of Legend's deep voice as he said,
"I'm sorry I left you that night. I shouldn't have left. I shouldn't have hurt you. And I shouldn't have gotten scared and run away when I realized that I was falling in love with you."
Tella's eyes flashed open, and words spilled out before she could stop them.
"You told me you weren't capable of love."
"I didn't think I was."
Legend moved his hand from her hair to cup her cheek, holding her face as if he'd never touched anything so precious.
"I can't say that I understand love, or that I'm very good at it, because I've never loved anyone before. But I love everything about you, Donatella Dragna. Everything."
His hand dropped lower to stroke her jaw.
"I love the secrets you haven't told me, and the lies you've tried to get away with. I love your stubbornness and your persistence. I love the way you always pretend not to care when I visit you in dreams. I love that you never stop fighting for what you want or the people you love, even when they don't deserve it. I love you. I don't intend to stop loving you. And I hope that somewhere deep inside, you still love me too. His mouth slowly lowered to hers, moving incrementally closer, warning her that if she didn't want to kiss him, she needed to pull away. But she no longer wanted to pull away, and she wasn't even sure she could have. Love really was another type of magic. She was trembling all over, shaking off the rest of the spell that legend had broken when he'd told her he loved her. He loved her! Her limbs trembled harder with something like wonder at the thought. She couldn't bring herself to speak, so she tried to tell him that she loved him with a kiss when his warm lips finally pressed against hers. They were so perfect and soft and sweet and gentle. Even though she was supposed to be letting Legend know that she loved him, she felt as if he was the one repeating the words with every languorous press of his lips, as if they weren't in any rush, as if they had all the time in the... Abruptly, Tella shoved him away. It was the last thing she wanted to do. She loved him, she knew she did. She wanted his lips on hers until she forgot how to breathe. She wanted to hold on to him forever. But he wouldn't have a forever if she didn't let him go right now. His jaw tensed and the pained look returned to his face. What's wrong? You need to leave. Tella didn't recognize her own voice, as if she were battling herself with every word. She wanted to be selfish. She wanted to keep him. She loved him, which was why she forced herself to push him away. You need to leave before you stay like this. It's too late. No, it's not, Tella shoved him again. He didn't even stumble backward on the moonstone steps. She turned to run. If he wasn't going to leave, she would. But before she moved an inch, his hand clasped around her wrist, and he pulled her back, binding her to him with his arms. Tella, let me go! She could already see him changing. She could see it in his smile, in the way it filled with love as it lit up his entire face. She tried to pry his arms away, but it was less than half-hearted. She'd always thought he was beautiful. But when he looked at her the way he was looking at her right now, he was absolutely everything. If you don't let me go, I'm not going to be able to fight you anymore. Good. Because I don't want to fight you. I just want to love you. He lifted her a little and pressed another kiss to her lips. This is my choice. And I choose you, Donatella. I don't need immortality. You're my forever. The True Ending. Welcome, welcome. You have been invited to the official coronation of Scarlet Marie Dragna to take place on the first day of the harvest season. The festivities will begin at twilight and hopefully never come to an end. Scarlet. Anyone else might have thought it was the perfect dress. But there wouldn't be another perfect dress for Scarlet. She would never replace her faded gown. But the piece of artwork she wore today was lovely. Entirely fitted save for in the back, where a train flowed behind her, whiter than untouched snow and decorated with silk red roses. It matched the cape Poison had sent her as a coronation gift, which was covered entirely in flower petals. It was glorious and extravagant, and though Scarlet would have looked like a true empress in it, she couldn't wear it. Poison had returned everyone he'd turned to stone to their human forms and agreed to a truce with Scarlet. But after one night with the fallen star as emperor, Valenda was still wary of all things fated. And as the daughter of a fate, the city was cautious of her as well. It didn't matter that she'd never stepped into her full powers. You look spectacular,
Tella grinned wider than a cat that had just caught a bird as she stood behind her sister in the gilded mirror that matched everything in the imperial suite. Even the drapes had gold leaves sewn between the gauzy panels. And it was all Scarlet's. Part of her was constantly tempted to use the reverie key and disappear from such an enormous responsibility. But she didn't think the key had come into her possession for that reason. The whole empire is going to fall so madly in love with you that Julian might get jealous, Tella said. Scarlet laughed under her breath. Julian's already jealous. He actually thinks Poison has a crush on me.
Poison does have a crush on you. Why do you think he agreed to a truce with you so quickly?
Maybe because my sister is nicknamed the Fate Slayer? Tella's cheeks pinked with pride.
You think I could get a wanted poster with a picture of me on it and that title beneath it?
You're not a criminal, Scarlet said. You're a hero.
Yes, but I've always wanted my own wanted poster.
Tella laughed, but her face turned wistful in a way that let Scarlet know she was thinking about their mother again.
Do you believe our mother really was Empress Ellentine's daughter? Scarlet asked.
I don't know that we'll ever know for sure, but I like to think she was.
When Empress Ellentine talked about paradise, she'd sounded fond and regretful.
Tella rambled toward the wall of windows and pulled back a pair of curtains to look out at the crowd already forming in the glass courtyard for that evening's ceremony.
We could always ask the assassin to take us back in time to see her again and find out for certain.
Maybe, Scarlet said, but she doubted it. After the fallen star's death, the assassin had disappeared along with most of the other fates. Poison was the only one who'd stayed behind, and Scarlet really hoped he didn't have a crush on her. Fate's affections tended to turn into deadly obsessions, as it had with Jax and Tella. Thankfully, no one had seen Jax since Legend's love broke the spell he'd placed on Tella. Scarlet didn't know if Jax had fled with some of the other fates to the Northern Kingdoms, where it was rumored that other fates had been living quietly. Now that the fallen star was dead, the fates he'd created were no longer immortals, but were ageless. They could live supernaturally long lives, but they could also die if they gave people reason to come after them. Scarlet would have spies look into it once she was officially crowned Empress. She still wanted to track down some of the crueler fates, like Jester Mad, the murdered king, and the undead queen, and bring them to justice. For her sister's sake, she wanted to make sure Jax wasn't coming back either.
Excuse me, Your Highness?
The crisp voice of a maid followed a soft knock on the door.
Mr. Julian is here to see you.
Let him in.
Scarlet crossed the room with a speed that was probably improper for an empress. But she couldn't help herself, just as she couldn't stop herself from grinning as Julian stepped inside. Her mother's dagger, now infused with the fallen star's magic, had removed the faded iron mask from his face with one touch. Scarlet couldn't even tell that Julian had ever worn it. He looked both dapper and rakish in the suit he'd had made for tonight's coronation. Scarlet especially liked his gray vest and the thin red stripes that matched the flowers in her gown. Tella closed the drapes with a dramatic swish.
I think it's time for me to go.
You don't have to leave, Scarlet said.
It's all right. I'm sure the two of you would rather smolder at each other in private, and I need to go and write a letter to Legend.
Julian gave Tella a crooked smile.
I think my brother's in the palace right now.
I know, but I'd much rather write him a letter.
Tella skipped to the door with an impish look on her face, which probably should have concerned Scarlet, but she was too distracted by Julian to worry about anything else. As soon as Tella left, Julian stalked deeper into the room. His eyes slowly raked over the fitted lines of Scarlet's white gown, leisurely moving from her hips all the way up to the golden circlet she'd wear until she was officially crowned.
I wasn't sure you'd have time to see me today.
I am very important.
I know, he said solemnly.
Julian, I'm only joking. She swiped his arm playfully.
He took the opportunity as an excuse to steal her hand.
You look bewitching, he said, pulling her closer. But I think your dress is missing something.
He lifted the coat folded over his arm to reveal a present resting in his hand. The box was small and thin, and tied with a simple red bow that made her think he'd wrapped it himself. I told you I didn't need any gifts today, but she was grinning wider as she opened it. Inside was a pair of crudely stitched gloves that went only to the wrist. For a moment, she wondered if this was his way of proposing. Gloves used to be a symbolic gift that gentlemen gave ladies they wanted to propose to. But the custom was out of style, and these didn't seem to be ordinary gloves. When Scarlet touched them, they began to shift. They moved the way her faded dress used to, transforming from simple white gloves with crude stitching to long, elegant sheaths of deep ruby lace.
Where did you get these? Scarlet breathed.
I went back to the dungeon and there were a few scraps of fabric from your dress that I sewed together.
You sewed these yourself?
A sheepish grin. I didn't trust anyone else to touch them.
Scarlet hugged the sheaths to her chest. If she didn't already love him, she would have fallen in love with him then. Julian tried to act like a scoundrel, but he was the sweetest person she'd ever known. You know, that dress always fancied you more than anyone else.
Of course it did, he smirked. It was always reflecting your feelings.
In the past, she might have protested, but Scarlet didn't even want to deny it.
Thank you. This is the most perfect gift.
I'm glad you like it.
His smile returned, but it looked a little bashful again, as he tugged on the back of his neck with one hand.
Gloves were once a symbolic gift.
Yes, she blurted. His brows danced up.
I haven't even asked.
Whatever you ask, the answer is yes. She threw her arms around his neck. His hands tightened around her waist in response.
What if I asked for half your kingdom?
Then I'd say you could have all of it. Everything that's mine is yours, Julian.
What about these?
He touched her lips.
Especially those.
To prove it, Scarlet pressed her mouth to his.
Now you're mine as well.
He pulled back just enough to give her a wicked grin.
I've always been yours, Crimson.
Encore. Legend. Legend did not believe in endings. For most of his immortal life, he believed his world would come crashing down if he fell in love and became human. Instead, his world had become more precious, particularly the pieces involving her. He stifled a laugh as he read her letter again. Tella wouldn't like it if she knew he was laughing, but she was one of the rare things he found funny. It was one of the many reasons he loved her. Year 1, Scarlet Dynasty. Dear Caraval Master Legend, I no longer believe you are a liar, a blackguard, or a villain. But I'm wondering if you'd like to become those things again, because I would very much like your help. My sister is about to become an empress, which will make me a princess. I know you might not see this as a problem, but I assure you it is. I was not meant to wander around a palace or be followed around by guards. But I don't want to make my sister look poorly by misbehaving. I promised her that I would not cause any scandals. So, I need you to please cause a scandal for me, Legend. Kidnap me and take me on a new adventure. I know it's not really kidnapping if I ask you to steal me away, but I think it would be fun to pretend. I also think it might make a very interesting game. And I know how you like to play. Yours forever, Donatella Dragna. This is Rebecca Solaire. We hope you've enjoyed Finale, a Macmillan audio production from Flatiron Books. This program was produced by Maddie Argyropoulos. Text copyright 2019 by Stephanie Garber. Production copyright 2019 by Macmillan Audio. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.